You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If an auto or motorcycle accident caused you an injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Browns 0, Bengals 30 yesterday. Obviously a nightmare-type performance. We're going to keep talking about that. We'll get Gerard Cherry with us in just a few moments as well. Dan in Canton, welcome to CBD. Let's go to Diane in North Olmsted then.
Hi, I just wanted to make a couple of points.
Sure.
And as I talked to the screener, I just told him, first of all, I think when you hear Pettine talk, the kind of team that he wanted to build does not really include a quarterback like Johnny Manziel. That's just my opinion, okay? I think that, you know, he was brought in because, you know, first of all, at 22, he was probably a project. Secondly, he did bring a lot of hype, and I think they are trying to attract the younger people, and I think that's part of the problem we had all season is the conflict that was going on between people that really wanted Johnny, people that really understood football and knew it was best to stay with Hoyer. And I think Pettine stuck with Hoyer for a long period of time in hopes that he could keep things going on the same level and not have the changes that we've constantly had for all these years. And I think once he went to Manziel, even though Hoyer's play dictated that, I think the problem is that, you know, perhaps that's why the team kind of fell flat yesterday. They kind of said, okay, we're giving up on the season. Whether that was his intention or not, I think that must have been read by the players because, true, the game was horrible and everybody played badly, but there just didn't seem to be any energy.
They didn't have that edge, and that's what was so brutal about it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have that edge. It seemed like the Bengals wanted the game more, and it was the final home game, Johnny's first start, playoff still alive, and yet they wanted it more. I think that's probably the most puzzling thing in the whole, you know,
it really is.
Of all.
It really is, and I think that's what I'm interested to hear. You know, now that the dust has settled and the game is over, you walk out embarrassed. You walk out like you have a tail between your legs after a football game like that. And you move on to and console with your family, friends, or whatever. But today, after you get an opportunity to see that and feel the way you felt after that football game, I'm very interested and I'll be in tune personally to hear what the players and the beat from the locker room really is. Are you defeated? Because I think, you know, it's 100%. No, I won't say 100%, but I mean, there's an opportunity for this team to lose their last two football games as well against two teams that are fighting for their own playoff lives. You know, and again, mathematically, the Browns are still in it, but in most cases, they're out of it now. That if we don't show up, you could get embarrassed two more times. And how would this football team feel about that? How would Coach Pettine feel about I guess the give up of the players in this locker room? And it's gotta be a horrible pill to swallow for everybody involved. You have to get motivated. You have to understand that you're playing in some cases these guys on this team are playing for their future. They must stay in it. They must keep their heads in the game. Johnny Manziel is playing for his future too. He hasn't been handed the keys to anything yet.
He hasn't. No, he is certainly not. They're trying to find out if he gets an opportunity to get the keys. And so far the first one, not good, but they certainly will look for now. Andrew Hawkins today in the locker room gave a powerful speech about his choice to wear a t-shirt in support of Tamira Rice. And we apparently have that audio, and we will play that for you here sometime over the final half hour of the show that's being uploaded by Jason Gibbs. But a lot of people said it was a very moving, very passionate speech talking about his son and talking about justice, which is a right for every American. So we will play that for you here in the final 30 minutes of our show here today. Let's go now to Greg in Stowe. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
I'm glad Matt brought up that point about Manziel. You know, he's playing for his career too. And I'm not trying to beat him down or anything, but I really think that in order for him to be able to succeed in this league, he's going to have to kind of mimic some players that he may or may not like. Like, I watched the game with Seattle and San Francisco. He's going to have to try to, you know when to throw that ball away. You know when, you know, he really did to me, in my eyes, he looked like that he was kind of rattled. You know, and not, you know, not to his, you know, defense or anything, but the offensive line, they need to be patched up too a little bit. But what really, really, you know, kind of just, I don't know, puzzled me was the very first series that we had. We went out, we did I think it was a halfback dive. We got 4 yards. We did a halfback dive again. We got another 4 yards. It ended up being 3rd and 2. For whatever reason, we threw the ball. It was a quick 3-and-out game. Cincinnati, momentum again. That was just baffling. Worst case scenario, we would have got 3 more yards if we would have ran the ball again. I think after that, they changed their whole game plan. What do you guys think about that?
I think they did, and I think it also, too, is when you're playing from behind, that's something that the Browns haven't done a whole lot in the game. The football games that they've won, they've got out ahead, and they've controlled the football game. So I believe that is something that they weren't very comfortable with. And I think also, too, understanding the skill set and the understanding that they are, in fact, starting a rookie quarterback in his first football game is they couldn't throw too much at him because of their expectations for the worst case scenario, and I know that you might, you know, some of you might listening might think, well, it could have gotten any worse, but to your first point, I think that is part of what I talked about earlier in regards to Johnny Manziel becoming a pro. And again, I'm not trying to say he's not allowed
to go have a learning experience.
Yeah, he's not allowed to go have fun. But ultimately, you don't see the pros at the quarterback position doing what he does socially. They're home with their kids. They're home doing what they do, and it's subdued, and they just go about their business. But it's as much as you'd spend time here in Berea and with Kyle Shanahan, these coaches, I would also behoove him to, again, as you said, dive into the other successful quarterbacks in this league and watch them. Because I know, having spent time with Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers watched Tom Brady offseason after offseason, every single play from footwork to mechanics to eye control to following the stripe on his helmet to really be able to understand where he's looking and where the ball actually goes. So little nuances like that. But I think in your case, in John Lynch, again, to make reference to him, said it best. Russell Wilson and what he's doing. And if you watched the San Francisco-Seattle game, you could tell the difference between a third-year polished quarterback and Johnny Manziel, an erratic rookie playing for his first time. But I believe their skill sets are very similar, but the composure that they have and the tempo with which they play and the control on the game that experience can give you is not something that you can force feed to Johnny Manziel in a short period of time and expect him to just go out there and play like a vet.
He's not going to. You wanted it to be better than it was, though.
Absolutely.
I think that certainly is fair. You expected to see something better as well. 216-578-0850. Let's go to Reggie in Youngstown. Reggie, welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Good, man.
All right.
We
all
can
right,
hear you, and you can hear us, correct? Unlike the really big show.
I can hear y'all. I can hear you good now and stuff, for real, because on the first show with Riz, I kept, you know, trying to talk to him. We couldn't hear each other.
Yep,
so,
we
yeah,
got you,
I can
man.
Hear you guys good. Hey, listen, guys, I was just going to say I really like what the lady said a little earlier, because she was right, man. I mean, you know, the tempo of the team, of the Browns yesterday and stuff, it was flat, man. It was flat. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact, you guys know you play football, comes from the fact when you're not sure exactly who's going to be your quarterback. I think that the team in general is very upset over the fact, and you might get a few of them is upset over the fact that they don't have that Hoyer should have started. I do. I really do. And I think they went through the motions out there, guys, and you all know what I'm talking about by playing before. They went through the motions, but they didn't really put their heart. It's no way, Matt, it's no way, man, that Cleveland couldn't have beat Cincinnati yesterday. They didn't do nothing spectacular. They just outplayed them because the Browns were flat. And far as
they dominated,
far as Johnny Manziel go, guys, my personal opinion in general, the cat is garbage, man. I told you guys, that cat is not going to be no good, man.
Yeah, well, to speak on Johnny Manziel, the one thing that I text Nathan throughout the show yesterday is I could see, and again, not on every play, not on every throw, but to me, at times, on some of the overthrows, I don't think it was, accuracy or how erratic he was or nerves. I think that Johnny Manziel is going to have to learn to be able to throw from the pocket as a small quarterback and be able to rise and drop that ball in, because we saw a few overthrows, and I really think he was trying to avoid it, throwing it over the pass rush with their arms up or over a defender, but he didn't drop it in. The ball could just continue to rise because he had so much velocity on it. So it's something he has to learn how to do.
Yes, it certainly is. All right, we told you we had Andrew Hawkins' emotional speech defending his T-shirt choice of shirt that he wore for his introduction yesterday, and here is Andrew Hawkins.
I'm just going to say my piece in the situation. Obviously, it's gotten a lot of coverage, which I kind of expected. And I'm not going to really answer the question. Not any disrespect for you guys, but more as a consideration for the Browns and the kind of the predicament that they're in. I'm going to try to cover all bases, so I just ask that you guys get the whole thing, and hopefully nothing gets misunderstood. I was taught that justice is a right that every American should have, and also it's justice is should be the goal of every American. I think that's what makes this country special. And to me, justice means that the innocent should be found innocent. It means that those who do wrong should get their due punishment. Ultimately, it means fair treatment. So a call for justice shouldn't offend or disrespect anybody. A call for justice shouldn't warrant an apology. To clarify, I utterly respect and appreciate every police officer that protects and serves all of us with honesty, integrity, and the right way. And I don't think those kind of officers should be offended by what I did. My mom has taught me my entire life to respect law enforcement. I have family, close friends who are incredible police officers, and I tell them all the time how they are much braver than me for it. So my wearing of the T-shirt wasn't a stance against every police officer or every police department. My wearing of the T-shirt was a stance against wrong individuals doing the wrong thing for the wrong reason to innocent people. Unfortunately, my mom also taught me that just as there are good police officers, there are some not so good police officers that would assume the worst of me without knowing anything about me for reasons I can't control. And she taught me to be careful and be on the lookout for those not so good police officers, because they could potentially do me harm, and most time without consequence. Those are the officers that should be offended. Being a police officer takes bravery. And I understand that they're put in difficult positions and they have to make those snap decisions. And as a football player, I know a little bit about snap decisions. Obviously, on a extremely lesser and non-comparative scale, because when a police officer makes a snap decision, it's literally a matter of life and death. And that's hard. That's a hard situation to be in. But if the wrong decision is made, based on preconceived notions or the wrong motives, I believe there should be consequence. Because without consequence, naturally the magnitude of the snap decisions is lessened, whether consciously or unconsciously. I'm not an activist in any way, shape, or form. And 99 times out of 100, I keep my opinions to myself. On most matters. I've worked extremely hard to build and protect my reputation, especially here in Ohio. And by most accounts, I've done a solid job of decently building a good name. Before I made the decision to wear the T-shirt, I understood that I was putting that reputation in jeopardy to some of those people that wouldn't necessarily agree with my perspective. I understood there was going to be backlash, And that scared me, honestly. You know, but deep down, I felt like it was the right thing to do. And if I was to run away from what I felt in my soul was the right thing to do, that would make me a coward. And I can't live with that. God wouldn't be able to put me where I am today, and as far as I've come in life, if I was a coward. You know, as you all know, and it's well documented, I have a 2-year-old little boy. The same 2-year-old little boy that everyone said was cute when I jokingly threw him out of the house earlier this year. And that little boy is my entire world. And the number one reason for me wearing the t-shirt was the thought of what happened to Tamir Rice happening to my little Austin scares the living hell out of me. And my heart was broken for the parents of Tamir and John Crawford, knowing they had to live that nightmare of a reality. So, like I said, I made the conscious decision to wear the t-shirt. I felt like my heart was in the right place. I'm at peace with it. And those who disagree with me, this is America. That's the point. Everyone has his right to their First Amendment rights. Those who support me, I appreciate your support. But at the same time, support the causes and the people and the injustices that you feel strongly about. Stand up for them. Speak up for them. No matter what it is, because that's what America's about, and that's what this country was founded on. Thank you, guys.
Powerful stuff there from Andrew Hawkins. Obviously, a very emotional issue for him and many in this country, and something that touched a nerve. Thought he articulated himself very well. I think that he is, you know, certainly entitled to make his statements on behalf of Justin and the justice and the victims in these circumstances. And I thought he did a very good job representing himself there. Very emotional, poignant stuff, obviously, from Andrew Hawkins.
Most definitely. And I think in today's world, with social media being the craze, players do have that platform to give off or to convey whatever message they want. But also to, you know, the Andrew Hawkins must understand that there are rules that they must abide by. And I think the league will take a tangible look into how they feel about him wearing that shirt and using this platform, whether it be for good or something bad. You know, you still have to abide by rules. And there's a reason why every player didn't wear that t-shirt, or every player doesn't feel that way. And it's a fine line that people have to walk. But again, you have to love you know, him being so strong and feeling the way he does about his son, and he made a choice, and he is standing behind it as a man.
Yes, he was. That was Andrew Hawkins, again, certainly passionate there about this situation and his decision to be an advocate for it on the pregame field for the Cleveland Browns yesterday. When we come back, Gerard Cherry will be with us, and we'll wrap things up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.